Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, who's come ready to experience what Lord wants to do in your life today? Amen. Lord, we just submit to what you want to do today here in our lives, in this place, in our hearts. Lord, we pray that you would just allow us, Lord, to be, Lord, where you want us to be, Lord, in this service. Lord, that if we have come, Lord, with attitudes that aren't right, you would readjust them, Lord. If we've come, Lord, with expectations that are too low, Lord, you'd raise them up. Lord, whatever you need to do in us, Lord, today, to make us in a place, to put us in a place, Lord, where we can receive into our lives, Lord, what you want to offer us today, Lord. I pray that that would take place. We thank you, Lord, for your greatness and your goodness, your splendor and your majesty. Lord, as this song says, Lord, it's a happy day, Lord, to be in your presence. It's a happy day to remember what you've done for us, Lord. So we just want to honor you this morning. Everything that we say and do. I want to make sure that the service, Lord, is as you have desired it to take place. And we just bless the name of Jesus right now. Thank you, Lord.
Glorious way, and you have saved me, Lord. What a Name it is the name of Jesus.
1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil.
resting his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the same. Thank you.
Jesse, can you go ahead and play that song quietly? Sorry, I have a little bit of a sore throat, so I hope you guys can understand me. But day before yesterday, I left and went down to the Dalles for a women's conference of my good friend Bobby. And Bobby's actually been in our church before and spoken, and she's fantastic. Anyway, and it was the conference was, the name of it was Just Knowing Him. And as I sat under the teaching, I wasn't the teacher. I was the one sitting there. I was the one listening to what everybody else had to say. And I was the one that was being fed, I guess you could say. And something that one of the speakers said yesterday really, really struck me hard. Jesse, if you can turn it up just a little bit. She said, the seeds that are planted in me, I'm responsible for. I'm responsible to God for. And when I stand before God, I am not going to be able to stand with my pastor. I'm not going to be able to stand with someone that's hurt me. I'm not going to be able to stand with my ex-husband that's hurt me. I'm not going to be able to stand with my Sunday school teacher. It's going to be me and him. And all of these things that have been planted deep down inside me, that I've heard over the years, that I've listened to under teachings and ministry and words that have been spoken to me, that deposit that's made in me is what God's going to be looking at. That deposit that he's deposited in me is what I'm going to be responsible for. So I went upstairs and I asked Jesse to find this song. And this song is talking about the holiness of God. Because God is holy and we are not. We are not. We are only holy through his holiness, right? Well, these were the people, this song, these were the people that were actually leading worship down there. And their names are Kimberly and Alberto Rivera. And what I want you to understand is that it was really different worship. There was no words on any screen. It was just as you felt. You just kind of hummed out or sang out or whatever. It was very different. Some people were like, that's like weird. And then some people had understood it enough and had been around it enough that they understood what it meant to sing that way. Because in the scripture, it says, sing a song before the Lord, your song, not a song that's written up on the screen. And so what I want us to just do right now is I want us to just concentrate on the holiness of God. God is so holy, and we, by his sacrifice, we are made holy to receive what he has to give. So, Jesse, if you'll turn it up a little bit more. They're just singing about the holiness of God. And what I want us to do is I want us to just listen for just a couple minutes. And I want us to shut our eyes. And I want you, just whatever is in there, I just want you to thank God for it. Like, thank you, God, that you gave me a spouse that stands beside me. Or thank you, God, that you gave your son to save me. Was that all there was to it, Jay? Okay.
Oh,
You've heard me say many times, it doesn't matter what happens on Sunday, but what happens between Sundays. This is my encouragement. I encourage you as a person of God. I encourage you to find some music like this that is truly speaking just to God. If you're not comfortable with this kind, put on worship songs, put on an artist. But in the week between the Sundays, start sitting in the presence of God and just see how much your relationship with Him will change. I got to sit for Friday night and Saturday up till 2 o'clock yesterday under this. And I can tell you, I'm changed from it. And the reason I'm changed from it is because I realize there's so much more that I am missing. You know? And so that's my encouragement. Just if you can, find something that truly speaks to your spirit. Put it on in your house. Turn it on. And just, it's in a safe place. That's what the speaker kept saying. This is a safe place. You're safe. You're safe. And it be a safe place and just begin just to allow your home to be swelled with the song of God. And it will swell in your spirit and in your heart as well, I believe.
Amen.
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 I don't know how much help I'm going to be today.
Well, we'll see. I'll read, okay? Oh, Tara has something. It's all good.
You're going to stand up with me too?
No, maybe not. I'm center stage. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. You're all good.
Okay. So, as you know, it's Pastor Appreciation Month.
Is it really?
You have to know that. If it was Terror Appreciation Month, I would so know that it was Terror Appreciation Month.
I had no idea.
So, we have gathered together to honor the both of you.
Thank you.
So, we have a gift for you, and you probably should open it. I've been praying all week that this... Hopefully this works out for you guys. We have paid for you. We, all of us, have paid for you to go on a cruise. Not really a cruise. It's kind of like a water. How would you describe it? A dinner cruise on the water.
Goodness.
It includes a 4-course dinner.
Oh, my goodness.
And a live play on the water. So you're going to be on the water the whole time. And then we've also paid for you to spend the night.
In Richland?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Which is not far. And so I'm just hoping that you can leave early enough from work on Friday to be able to go. That's my only...
Are you kidding?
Yay! She doesn't work on Fridays! So... The dinner cruise, and
thank
then
you.
Afterwards you have a night in the room all to yourselves.
Oh, that's so nice.
And then you're close to your daughter,
you
can maybe visit on Saturday before you come home. There's some spending money in there. That's for him. There's some spending money in there for gas or lunch the next day.
That's nice.
Or whatever you want.
Looks like I have to retire this one.
So, yes, I said he no more hand-me-downs. So
thank
we just wanted to bless you guys.
Oh,
we
you guys.
All wanted to bless you. Everybody contributed. So
thank you.
We
thank
all
you.
Love you.
Thank you, everyone.
So much.
We feel appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Wow. No, I didn't know either. Did you?
No.
I guess it comes from not listening to radio or something. I don't know.
This is from Elaine.
Elena, she did this for you guys.
My goodness.
Oh my goodness.
I saw you working on this yesterday.
Yeah, you did.
It is. Need to get a frame. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Psalm 27:4. That is a good verse for us. Thank you. Wow, that is nice.
Wow.
I love the colors. Okay, well, praise the Lord. So, on Friday, wasn't it Friday? They had Grandparents' Day at Riverside, and we got to go for part of the day. We didn't get to go for the whole thing, but we were there for the part of the chapel, I guess it is. And the students, I think it was the upper grades, were doing like one of those deals where you have a different student all share a verse, and then they come in unison at a certain part. And I couldn't hear all the words, but and I don't think I actually heard everything in the scripture, but it was enough that made me, I could go back and read Psalm 86. So I was reading through Psalm 86, and I came across this verse, and I thought, oh, wow, that's powerful. I wanted to see, okay, where else in the Bible does it use this same expression, and nowhere else in the Bible is this expression used. So, unite my heart to fear your name. So that's what I want to share about today. And Gay's trying to get through a croakiness, so she's probably going to not read or share near as much. So here's the full verse, and I could read all of Psalm 86. It's really good, but this is what I wanted to focus on today. Psalm 86:11 in the New King James says, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. The Complete Jewish Bible, I'll read it before Jesse sends it to me, says, Adonai, teach me your way. Now, Adonai was the name that a lot of the Jews used for the Lord's name instead of Yahweh, because they did not want to blaspheme the name of the Lord. So when you see Adonai, that is also the Lord. Teach me your way so that I can live by your truth. Make me single-hearted so that I can fear your name. Really good translation, actually. And then the message really said it well. The message doesn't always get it right, but I thought this was like spot on when you look at the Hebrew language. Train me, God, to walk straight. Then I'll follow your true path. Put me together, one heart and mind, undivided. I'll worship you. I'll worship in joyful fear. Undivided, I'll worship in joyful fear. So this word unity or unite or united is a Hebrew word that has just three letters, but two of the letters make up its meaning, and I thought it was really interesting, so I thought I would share it. The pictograph of, I believe this is pronounced kaf, is a picture of a wall. So it represents a wall. In Hebrew language, the letters represent pictures. For instance, the very first letter of the bless your heart, of the alphabet. What's it called? I'm trying to think of the name. The Aleph, yeah, but I'm trying to think of the name of their alphabet. They have like a name for it, but is Aleph. And Aleph means like a strong ox or like the center figure. And so God is the center figure. And the last letter, which is, it's like our T, it's Tav, and it means like a cross, literally means a cross. And there's actually some words that use, you know, the representation of the cross, and they point to Jesus. So in this case, this kaf is a picture of the wall. And the dalet, which is like our D, is a picture of a door. Combine these meanings together and you get wall door, which doesn't necessarily mean anything to most, but a wall separates the inside from the outside. So only through the door can one enter or exit, uniting the inside with the outside. So unity is a uniting together. All things are a unity without something else. With something else, excuse me. One man is a unity of a body, breath, and mind. One family is a unity of father, mother, and children. One tree is a unity of a trunk, branches, and leaves. One forest is a unity of trees. So this idea of unity is bringing the divided, or the parts that go together, together. For instance, the unity of a family would be like the having everybody home for a reunion. That'd be that unity. You would see that family gathering. So the psalmist, which is David in this case, is asking the Lord to bring unity. I'll take it back to here. Take it all the way. To bring a unity to his heart. And if you think about it, you wonder, okay, well, how does unity to my heart mean anything? Well, in Hebrew, and actually in the New Testament, the heart symbolizes also our mind and our emotions as well. Our thoughts is our heart. We did a whole study on the heart for, I think it was like 20 weeks. It was a long time. And we learned that the heart is the center of who we are. It's like the very core of us. You know when you say to somebody and they've said something like, oh, that hurt my heart. You know, you feel it. It's more than just like someone said something to you and it was kind of frustrated you. It's like you can feel it like hit you. And that's that center of you that gets affected by things. So the psalmist is asking for God to unite his heart. Here's another scripture where a cousin to that word is used, not the exact same one. That unite word is only used three times in the Bible. Two times, it's talking about, two of the three times, it's talking about the uniting of people who are evil trying to come against someone. This is the only scripture, the previous one, 86:11, where it's talking about something positive, uniting his heart to fear God. Okay, this is from Psalm 133:1, and I actually quoted it a couple weeks ago, but it's the Song of Ascents of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so unity has to do with bringing together, like I said, different parts that make up a whole. Mm-hmm. And so for us, as we come together, and all of us have differences, right? Not just looks, but I mean, we have different backgrounds. We have different opinions. We have sometimes opinions that are in total contradiction to each other. But sometimes we are in agreement as well, you know, in our ideas. But that isn't necessarily what makes us unified, is that we all come to agreement on the same idea. What makes us in unity and agreement is that we bring our differences together to make a whole one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I recently was in a job interview and they're asking me, so what's the benefit of a team? Well, the benefit of a team is that where I'm weak, you may be strong. And where, you know, you're weak, I may be strong, and vice versa. That we can enhance each other's. I mean, in a marriage.
Same thing.
You know, Gay has strengths that are my weaknesses, you know, and vice versa. Of course, you may not have any weaknesses. You're pretty good, so.
Oh, brother.
Right? All the women said, amen. All the men said, oh my. But how pleasant it is and how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So that's talking again of this same type of unity as for our heart. So it says that my heart hears. So this is talking about unite my heart. So the organ that pumps blood, the heart is also seen, and this is what we're talking about here, the seat of thought and emotion of the mind. So it's this part of us that really we can't see. The heart is reflected in our way that we respond to other people, whether, you know, we're dejected or whether we're happy. You know, our heart is kind of on display. You know, someone's hanging their head, well, they have a heavy heart. You know,
yeah.
Somebody's walking around, you know, woohoo, well, their heart's pretty uplifted and they're feeling good, you know. So David's asking to unite that part. He's asking to make sure that he's not divided. So what does that mean, though, to be divided in our heart? Because you would think that our heart is, you know, solid. You know, it's not all divided in everything. And as we look on, we're going to see a little bit about what that means. So we look at Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's a key right there. It's a key because it seems like our natural understanding can be just totally opposite from what we need to do when we trust the Lord. Anybody else run into this? You know, it's like you see all the circumstances, you see what's going on, and so you, in your natural reason, can say, this is what I need to do. Mm-hmm. But trusting in the Lord, that other part of us, that other part that where we know that even though I can't see the answer, he is the answer. And that brings our heart together.
Yeah.
I can see you.
Yeah, you can see the wheels turning.
Yeah.
trust in the Lord with all your heart means you can trust in the Lord with part of it.
There you go. See, that's why you're here. That's a good point.
Because to me, that means that we have a choice about whether or not we want to trust with all of our heart or just part of it, the part that seems acceptable or the part that looks good from the outside to others, the part that, you know, is the show part. But then there's that inner part of us that we try and keep from him, even though he knows all about it. And I remember I just want to tell you a little bit. Do you mind if I share a little bit?
Oh, not at all.
I just want to share a little bit of my testimony, because then you'll understand what I mean by all or part of. I grew up in a home that was a very destructive home. My parents were alcoholics. We were abused emotionally, physically, mentally, verbally, and then from the outside, sexually. All the daughters, all four of us. I don't think I've ever shared this before. This is very weird. And when I first started going to church, I'm like, okay, well, God, you know, I believe in you, but you let that happen. And, you know, there's a big BUT there, you know? And as I began to really love the Lord as a teenager going into womanhood, it took me years to understand this all part. And the reason it took me years is because I had trust issues like anybody would from that kind of a life. And it was after my marriage, my first marriage, that my parents came to the Lord. So the drinking, the verbal, the mental, all of that disappeared. You know, it wasn't there any longer. And then about 15 years ago, I lost my older sister. She was 45 when she passed away. And the day of my sister's funeral in California, the other four children, we were all there, obviously. And my dad called us out on a porch that was at my auntie's house and sobbing, which he was a Navy man. And Navy men don't sob. But he was sobbing and he was begging us to forgive him for the way that he raised us. Because he knew that he emotionally, mentally, physically abused us. He knew that there was alcoholism that affected us and fights between the parents as they would come home from the bar at 2 a.m. and we kids would wake up and hear it and hide under the pillows hoping that they would just stop. And he begged us for forgiveness. So with all your heart doesn't mean you make a decision today. I choose to trust you, Lord, with all my heart. But today can be the day that you choose to begin the process. Does that make sense? Because it is a process. It isn't going to... Some people it might happen overnight. Praise the Lord. But some people it is a processing. It is a thing that you time and time again go over. Just this year, he shared about a deep hurt that we have suffered and how he had to take them, the people that hurt us, before the throne of grace in time of need, because we needed help because we were hurting. And once he gets it done, it's a done deal, and he's great and all wonderful. But me, I had to go back to the throne of grace a couple times. Maybe I'm still going back to the throne of grace. And it might be a couple times more, because that's just the kind of person that I am. But God understands that. Mm-hmm. See, the part about it is he knows our heart.
He does.
And it's okay for a process. It's okay if it can be quickly. It's okay if it can be a process. Do not allow the condemnation of the enemy the right in your life to love God. The Holy Spirit of God, three in one, brings conviction to our hearts. If we're doing something and we're not feeling so right about that, that's conviction. But the Holy Spirit, but the enemy brings condemnation. Mm-hmm. So the enemy would say to me, well, if he can do it in one time, why can't you? If he right. can just be over and done with it one time, what's your problem? If he can, why can't you do whatever? And so what I'm trying to say is that with all your heart is your choice to make, but it can be, I want it to be with all my heart. I really do. I get that it might take a while. I really do. But I have to stop leaning on what I know. That's the next part. What I know is someone hurt me. What I know is I was betrayed. But if I trust in the Lord with all my heart, what I know I won't lean on. I'll lean on trust in him.
Right. Oh, sure.
I told my girl I leaned.
Tim and I have been watching, you know, Bill Johnson,
right.
Bethel TV, and I told you this earlier because when you said it about conviction, what he said this week when we were listening, he said, the Holy Spirit brings me conviction to convict me out of something, not to convict me and keep me in misery of something.
Condemn you of something that you're in. Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, and you brought up a really good point because like you said, the enemy comes to you and says, well, why didn't you do that one time? And, you know, and or other things, you know, you should have been over this by now, you know, and if you really were a Christian, you wouldn't be dealing with this, you know, because you'd have the love of God. I mean, he knows how to lie to us.
Right.
And where the Holy Spirit is saying to you, daughter, I'm here for you. I know that this is hurting you. I know this is a hard time, you know, and if you'll release this to me with your will, mm-hmm. not trying to twist your arm, but with your will, if you want to freely release this to me, I will help ease the pain. I will help remove the hurt.
Right.
And you know, anytime you have somebody twisting your arm to do something in God, that's probably not God. Because God is going to be someone that is, even in your worst state, someone that's going to reach out his hand and help lift you out of that place. Not condemning you, not behind twisting your arm to get out of that place. Because God is all about free will. Whosoever will, you'll see it all through the Bible, whosoever will. Who's the will on? It's our will. It's that choice that we get to make. Do I want to participate with God in this, or do I choose not to? And all your heart is giving that will over.
Right.
That's good. James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So if you're ever in a situation where you need wisdom, there's your answer. But then it says here, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and stable in all his ways. So you could easily say he is a double heart. He has a double heart. In other words, one part of him wants to say, yes, Lord, I believe. And then another part saying, oh my goodness, there's no way this is going to happen. And obviously we can all struggle with doubt. And we know that in the Bible, there's times that people came to Jesus and you know, they said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. So God is there. But that doubting is like a crippling power to have God do something in our lives. And so the only way to get over doubt, in my mind, is to continually remind ourselves of the goodness of God and his plan for us and his love for us and his power working in our lives. Yeah. For me, that brings me out of doubt and unbelief. Jeremiah 29:13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So it's not saying, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with a divided heart. You can't have your heart in two camps and be seeking the Lord and finding him, because you really don't desire it. I mean, if your heart's in one place and it needs to be here to be seeking the Lord. You know, it's interesting that it does say seek. Which seeking is usually a process where you have to, you know, go look behind bushes and, you know, anybody ever played hide and seek? I mean, every now and then you might play with somebody that thought they were invisible and they would stand there, you know, it's like, no one can see me, you know, and maybe a little baby. And so you go along with them, right? Yeah, they close their eyes. I'm invisible. But most of the time, people are getting in little cubby holes or hiding up in, you know, behind clothes in a closet. I've done this before. You know, underneath beds. Anybody use that one? You know, yeah. If you're small enough, you get underneath the bed. And so the idea is that you have to go find something that's hidden. Now, for whatever reason, God likes to hide himself. Now, it's in plain sight. But he hides himself. He makes it so that we need to seek him out. I mean, it'd be nice if if we just all just, you know, could hook up to like some kind of electronic device and just get a full download of everything and never have to do anything again. Actually, no, that's not true, because then we would never value what we received, because most of the time, who was that was telling me about the oyster? Somebody was saying something about an oyster today, or a pearl. Pearl. Yeah, that's another Bill Johnson. That a pearl requires irritation to be manufactured in an oyster. And so really, to be who we're to be is going to require some irritation and some work.
So I'm going to be full of pearls then?
Might being the operative word.
Might be, yeah. I'm going to leave God as the judge of that. You're a pearl in my eyes, but to everybody else, you know, it's like, what?
Irritation.
You might be making pearls all over the place. Very well said, Jesse.
So the next time somebody says,
you're
irritating,
Sam. Yeah, there
you
go.
There you go.
Okay. So fear your name. Now, we know that fear can be in the negative sense, where we're afraid of God in a way that, you know, he's going to squash us like a bug, or we've made him so mad that, you know, he's going to mess up our life. And that's not the kind of fear that we're talking about, because really the love of God eradicates that fear from us. Mm-hmm. You know, this perfect love removes that kind of fear. But there is a good, positive kind of fear that we need to have. And that is an awe, honor, respect, and reverence. And so that's what that fear is. An awe and honor and respect and reverence. You could probably add other adjectives to that. But it's basically seeing God and being in wonder. Being, you know, God of wonders. We sang it today. Being in a state of almost like captivated because of who he is. And because of that captivation, it causes our heart to yield and submit. So we're in awe, honor, respect, and reverence for the character. That's what that name means. It's his character. It's his nature and person of the Most High God. It's not just his name, not just the name Jesus. Oh, I'm just in awe of Jesus. No, but that name Jesus represents the Son of God. It represents the one who came and died for you and I, the one who came and gave his life and was our, you know, propitiation is what it's called. He was the price that was necessary for sin to be obliterated. So when you think about this, unite my heart. Keep my heart from being divided to the place where I cannot be in awe and honor and respect and reverence of your character and who you are. But on the opposite, make it so my heart is wholeheartedly seeking after you, where I can be in awe and honor and respect and reverence. Mm-hmm. I think what the church has done is that we thought if we could put conditions on people, that if they lived a certain way, well, then those ways that they were living, the conduct that they were doing because of the constrictions that we put on them, whether that be don't go to movies, you know, women only wear dresses. I mean, all these different things that were part of this holy lifestyle, that then that life could show that they were in awe and honor and respect, when it's all about the heart.
Right.
You know, all of that's an outer appearance. So what ends up happening is that when we do allow our hearts to be united in such a way that we fear and awe and respect his name, that then our conduct becomes an example of what we've done already inside. Mm-hmm. See, getting the cart before the horse, trying to act a certain way, is not going to get your heart to be that way. Right?
Right.
Getting your heart in a place where it's turned towards God and respecting him and awing him is where you're going to then have conduct and a lifestyle that will follow through with what's happening inside.
Right.
It's It's kind of like this. I mean, it's you know the way that an apple is. It's not that the meat and everything is on the outside of the apple. It's on the inside. And that's where, you know, the very core is the seeds, the heart of that apple. And right. Not just that apple, but the apple that was before it is where that seed came from. And so when we get to the core of the seed of who we are, and that is our maker, then we bear fruit that shows that seed. Is that good? Is that right? Okay. So, huh?
Fruits of the Spirit.
Fruits of the Spirit is one of them? Absolutely. Fruits of the actually, it's fruit of the Spirit, which is pretty amazing. That's a teaching we did last fall. So, yeah, it's fruit of the Spirit. It's fruits of the flesh or works of the flesh, but fruit of the Spirit. So you have nine fruit. Go find that in nature, where you have nine attributes for one fruit. Anyway. That's good, though. Psalm 61:5. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. A heritage of those who fear your name. You've heard me, Lord. You've given me an inheritance because I've feared your name. I've had an awe and respect and wonder and honor for your name. Oop, got to get going. 1 Peter 1:17. And if you call on the Father, this is a New Testament scripture. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here. I like that. Throughout the time of your stay here, conduct yourselves. It sounds like we're at a hotel, doesn't it? We're just checked in for a little bit. While you're here, why don't you stay here in fear? And he's talking about that kind of fear that's an awe and reverence and respect and honor. See, there's this dynamic that we get when we're, I know for me, when I was not in Christ, and even sometimes when I was in Christ, that you get this unhealthy fear of God, because it's not a fear that you want to approach God. It's a fear that you want to stay away. You know, it's like dad is mad. He's going to throw a shoe at me if I get in his sight, you know, or, you know, swat me with a switch or something like that. Just because, you know, I must have done something wrong today. You know what I'm saying? And so we get this idea that God is not approachable. And that is not a healthy fear, because Hebrews says we're to come boldly before the throne of grace, where we can help in time of need, mercy in time of need. So coming boldly is not a fear to go to our Father. Yeah, wheels turning? Did you? Okay.
Just thinking.
All right. Next verse. I don't think I said that. That was 1 Peter 1:17, for those of you following. Revelation 11:18. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great. So there's something about fearing his name that puts you in with the saved crowd, the ones that the judgment isn't for. And then it says, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. I got to go back and study that one. It's like, but the point being is that fearing his name is a key to being with the prophets and the saints. So I think it's something that we should allow our heart to learn how to do. Lord, how do I learn to fear your name? Not just, again, the name of Jesus, his character, his nature, the person of who he is. I think the only way that we really learn to fear his name is to learn who he is. Not just through the book, but through relationship. Mm-hmm. Right? what is that one? To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him
in his temple.
In his temple. To gaze upon his beauty. Now I'll finish with this again. Train me. So this is a prayer that we could write down, or you could take a picture of. Train me, Lord. Train me, God, to walk straight. Then I'll follow your true path. I'll follow the road that you have for me if I allow you to train me. And usually if you're asking God to train you, guess what? You're going to get trained.
Yeah, you will.
If you ask Holy Spirit, I've noticed, or God, Jesus, however you want to say it, I've noticed that every now and then I will do this. And maybe I'll, run over somebody who, cuts me off or yell at them or do something, because, everybody can relate to cutting people off and stuff, and being cut off or, running red lights. Is it like an epidemic or something in Yakima now? For crying out loud, I'm sitting at like 2 seconds now at lights if I'm the first one before I take off. It's a requirement now to run red lights. Oh, it is. I didn't know that. Okay, we won't go there. But the point being is that there's this idea, that we can get into where we're letting our hearts get all messed up when he can govern it. He can speak to our heart and say, son, don't run over that person, just because, they cut you off. And you've asked him to do that. So guess what? He'll start doing that. Now you got to be obedient when he does. Now you can't just let your temper fly. But that's asking the Lord to help you walk that path. When you ask him to train you, guess what, folks? He will train you. That also, that word literally means direct you. He's pointing, go this way. So ask him, Lord, point me in the direction that you want me to go. Point me in the way that you want me to conduct myself. And what he tells me to do, he may not tell you to do. Because
right.
He's working on something else in your life. Then put me together. I like this. If I'm divided, put me together, one heart and one mind. Then, at that point, when I'm undivided, I'll worship in joyful fear. Joyful fear, not terrorized fear, joyful fear.
I read the story this morning about the pyramids, and when the pyramids were being made, that the very last thing that happened was that they would put on the cap, the
caps.
Top. And they were made of gold. And when the gold cap went on, which back in, they didn't have cranes or anything. How now in the world they do that? But anyway, when the gold cap went on, there was a huge party because pyramid was finished. And even though these people that made these pyramids didn't get along very well, when that cap went on, that cap brought unity, and a party went on. And we have that unity, and the cap is the Lord.
Amen.
We all are in unity. It doesn't. Now, let me just say this, and I want you to hear without judgment. We all may believe different things that we've read in the Word. But if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, and we believe that the Word of God is the true Word of God spoken, and we believe that it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, then all the other little differences we have, we should be able to agree to disagree or whatever you want, but come together underneath that cap. He is Lord. He is holy. He is God. He is mighty. He's the one that unites our hearts. He's the one that binds us together. I remember when we first got married, and he would always say that. Or he would say, knit. knit. Mm-hmm. And I would see those knitting needles going, and I'm like,
Knit our hearts together.
And I would just, it was a strange, to me, it was a strange terminology. But now, it makes total sense. Because even though he's a guy and I'm a gal, and even though he's messy and I'm not, and even though, you know what I'm saying? I mean, even though there's differences, the cap that unites us, besides love and marriage and all of that, is God.
Amen.
And that's how it should be. Plain and simple. We shouldn't make it so hard. We should all be one heart. And if we're not, let me tell you, that's why we come together on Sundays. If we're having a hard time, somebody come to another person, you know, like Tim go to Jerry or Tim come to Mike or, you know, Zeke come to Mike or whoever. If I'm having a hard time with this, what? I'm really having a hard time with this. Could you pray with me about that? That's what we come to here for. Not to look to see who got new clothes or how bad the worship team sounded today or... I'm just saying.
It was
yes.
Fruit. Bless my heart. I'm so
pearls.
Horrible.
It's that. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's about Jesus being the top of it all. That makes us family.
Amen. Well, if they could sit through that, they are family.
Yeah.
Right. We are family. Oh, that is horrible. I know.
I was teasing. I didn't mean to say that that way, but you knew what I meant.
We knew what
I mean,
you meant.
You guys, we love the Lord. And that's what matters. And he's the cap.
No offense
he's
taken.
The top. Good. Thank you, babe.
Yeah.
I was
telling Pastor Mike that I heard this week from Will Johnson. The gates of heaven are called frames, and they're made of pearl. And so the enemy was trying to destroy our pearl. Because we were irritated, so he was pearls. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We all were worshiping anyway.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, again, it's, you know.
And it's not about us being up there.
No.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, it clearly says, and I'll fall back on this, make a joyful noise. If that's all we can do is make a noise, if it's from the heart, thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you guys again so much. I mean, that was just
unexpected
and wonderful. Thank you. And we love you guys.
Thank you so much.
You are special. You really are. Not in a bad way.
You mean the world to us.
I mean that in a good way. You are amazing. And you know what? There's a plan that God has for us.
Yeah.
I will let you know that Pastor Ed said he was totally blessed last week. He just felt, he said, I did not feel, you know, like I was, you know, being swallowed up. He said it just felt homey. It felt like, you know, just comfortable and home. So I said, well, praise the Lord. That's awesome because that's the way we feel, you know, so.
Yeah, because he had heard the year before when Mike had a meeting with the council that, you know, we sit here together and talk. And bring the word, and he saw the table over there, and he saw us up there, and he's like, how's this all going to come together? And then, you know, and then Phyllis came forward and spoke, and then at the end, Tim came forward and spoke, and he said, but it all had such a godly, natural, wonderful, beautiful flow. He said he had never heard the song that we played just before we started talking about seasons change. And he sat there and wept through the whole thing because it's like God is here and it's okay. Who cares about the numbers? God is here. And that's the way we need to feel. But, you know, God's going to bring the people. And you guys just get out there. And if someone needs a home to come to, you know, tell them about us. And God's going to... But God's going to grow the church.
And if someone needs a hug, just love them.
Yeah, love on them.
People really need love today.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If they end up coming here, great. But if you can love someone, that's better yet.
Yeah, amen.
So, quick.
I have to say something.
Okay, good. I was going to say, does anyone have anything else?
So I have to tell you, Vicki, I didn't tell you this, but we have a lady in our scrapbooking group who we have prayed over. Yes. Her name's Carol. She's been going through a lot health-wise and stuff. And so, you know, she's in my group, and we just pull her in and pray for her. And so I think we could safely say we've been working on her heart, trying to. But I have to say that she also contributed to your gift.
Oh, wow.
Seeing what we're doing and knowing our hearts and knowing, you know, who we are. So I had to share that with everybody, because it wasn't just something that we're blessing them with. It's, you know, we're blessing others, and then they're seeing our hearts. And so I just wanted everyone to know that.
That's awesome. Well, tell her thank you when you see her. Yeah. Father, we just thank you for this time together. Lord, we pray that you would just seal, Lord, our moment, Lord, and seal our hearts, Lord, with this word, and allow it to bring the divided parts, Lord, that we struggle with on a daily basis, Lord, to a place of unity and uniting, Lord, so that we can fully walk the path that you've called us to walk, and that we can learn and grow, Lord, in fearing and awing and respecting and honoring, Lord, who you are, your name, your character, and your nature. In Jesus' name, amen. All
we
right.
Love you guys.
Praise the Lord. There's still some bagels over there. Bagels for people, coffee. So you don't have to run away.